Bryson, you did a good job. It's quite a challenge to not only play before this congregation probably like that, but also with your piano teacher sitting back there, so you did good. Did all right, didn't you, Janice? Tomorrow, you all know we are celebrating Memorial Day, which is a uniquely American experience. A day set aside to honor those who expressed what our Lord referred to as greater love, who laid down their lives for family, for friends, and for freedom. 1 week after Pearl Harbor, then President Franklin D. Roosevelt said this, and I quote, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." Folks, we must never forget that freedom is never free. It is most always bought with the blood of patriots. It bothers me and saddens me that many seem to have forgotten the ultimate price that others paid that we might enjoy the freedom that we enjoy in this nation today. Freedom to worship as we see fit. Freedom to work and live and play in this country. We find ourselves in one of the biggest battles this nation has ever faced, the battle for the very soul of this nation. And we're battling because I'm afraid that many people have not just forgotten the heritage that we enjoy and the privileges that we enjoy. Many have not been taught. And I hope that schools will teach. And if they're not, I hope the teachers will take the initiative. Many of them do. To teach what this nation really is all about. The erosion of our culture that began slowly is now in a moral and cultural free fall away from the principles that made this nation great. Several years ago, Dr. Paul Powell made the following prophetic observation when he said, and I quote, "We have today what we tolerated yesterday, and we will inherit tomorrow what we tolerate today." We're living in a time when liberal legislators and liberal judges are changing the moral fiber of this nation by ignoring the clear teachings of what is right and good and honorable according to the teachings of the Word of God that got this nation where we are today. The entertainment industry has lost all sense of moral values and what is being presented over the airways, and people are being lied to about what life really is all about. Our moral values are being not just cast aside, they're being thrown aside and buried. People trying to remember them no more. We're not just becoming an immoral culture, we become an amoral culture. No values, no moral values in many areas of life. We must hold the standard of moral values high today. Henry Leaf Sr. wrote and sung the following song during the bicentennial witness service on the Washington Monument grounds. Here's what he said. "When I was a little lad and went to public school, we'd pray to God, salute the flag, revere the golden rule. But now the classroom prayers are shed, though still in God we trust. There are those who seek to drag old glory in the dust. But I still pray a prayer of faith and hold old glory high. But this is what she means to me and shall mean till I die. I'll take the red from the flag for the heroes who died for liberty. I'll claim the white for the pure purpose of every mind in the strife to set men free. I'll hail the blue for the justice which they invoked for the ashes of tyranny. While white stars on fields of blue should remind me and you to be loyal, brave, and true. That's old glory ever new." When I read that, I was reminded about when I was in grade school back in Person County in Allenville. Went to first 8 years of My public school education was there. We'd assemble once a week. And in that assembly, we would pledge allegiance to the flag. We would sing America the Beautiful. I must confess, I really didn't know a whole lot about America early on, but I did learn a lot from my school teachers. I didn't understand a lot about our form of government. Thankfully, that has increased in recent years. I was not as much aware of America's place in world affairs back then as I am now. I had little understanding of the problems facing our nation. I was one of those World War II babies, born in 1942. War began in 1941. And since then, well, I was kind of in between in school with the Korean conflict going on, and then following that was Vietnam. But as I pledged the allegiance to the flag and sang America the Beautiful, I felt even then that I was part of something good and great. And there stirred in me feelings of pride and joy and gratitude. We were living in a time back then, some of you may remember it, some of you young people will not remember this, you're too young. But I remember a time growing up in home, we didn't worry about locking our doors. That's how safe our nation was back then when I was a young person. We had a sense of community. We knew our neighbors, worked together, lived together, played together, prayed together, worshiped together, in community. Wonderful sense of community. A lot of that has been lost. A lot has changed. I understand our system of government a little better. I see our role in world affairs a little clearer. I am much more aware of our strengths and our weaknesses, but one thing has not changed, and that is my feelings for my country. I still feel that joy and pride and gratitude when I see the colors. I feel a sense of responsibility when I pledge allegiance to the flag, when I sing not only America the Beautiful, but also God Bless America. And boy, we need to make that a prayer daily, once again. I am more convinced than ever after looking at how this nation was founded that America was established in the divine providence of Almighty God, that we have been blessed with freedom and prosperity for a purpose. I believe that purpose was for the spreading of the gospel to the ends of the earth. It was to acknowledge the divine providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly cry out for His protection and favor, and to be thankful for His blessings. With that in mind, I submit to you that we must do all that we can to keep our beloved America free and strong, so that God might use us to fulfill His spiritual mission to reach all nations with the gospel. What is the key to making this nation truly great again and keeping it truly great again? I submit to you, as important as they are, the key to keeping America truly great again does not lie with a great economy. And we're enjoying one of the greatest economies we have in many, many years. Nor does it lie in a strong military or a strong government with our matchless constitution and constitutional republic form of government with our laws. All of these are very important. The key to making America truly great again and keeping America truly great lies in the Word of God. And it can be summed up in one short but powerful verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. There the writer said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. One translation says a reproach means the same thing. Righteous means to be right. It suggests the idea of moral uprightness and social justice. The word reproach means to bend low in shame, in disgrace, or in ultimate downfall. So I submit to you this morning there are three qualities that brought America greatness and which must be recaptured and maintained if we are to experience the continued blessings of Almighty God. Those three qualities are simply this: the character of her people, the patriotic spirit of her people, and the powerful faith of her people. First of all, let's look at the character of our people. When I say character, I mean the total of things that a person does, feels, and thinks by which he or she is judged as being good or bad, strong or weak. It is that quality that sets people apart as special. Someone has said that character is that which a person will or will not do when nobody else is looking. It is that moral fiber that keeps them on a straight and narrow path of life. And I submit to you that the place where character is shaped and formed is in the home. In the home. We partner with the home in churches, but we only have you and young people 2 to 3 hours a week at the most. You have your family and your children the rest of the time. What are you doing to teach them the moral values that will help keep your family strong and your home strong and safe and secure and this nation safe and strong and secure? What are you teaching in the home? Ultimately, the strength of a nation is in the home. That ancient philosopher Plato said this, "The life of the nation is but the life of the home writ large." Someone else has said, "Take the typical home of any nation and multiply it by the size of the nation, and you will know what the nation is like." If the homes are places of love, respect, and discipline, the nation will soon reflect it. But if they are places of abuse and conflict and permissiveness, the nation will be that way also. All I can say is, folks, look around. Look at where we have degenerated to in our family life, home life, in America today. We need to see that and weep and fall on our faces before God and cry out for God to continue to move among us. Listen, were it not for godly families, Christian families, I think this nation would have collapsed a long time ago. So don't be discouraged. Hold to the faith handed down to you from your forebears and that which you have embraced. It's so vital and so important. The condition of many of our homes should raise a red flag of warning. Not even being the world's greatest superpower can save us from falling if our biblical family structure collapses. And you know that in the last several years, there's been an all-out assault on the traditional view of family according to the Bible. That has not changed, and God has not changed that view. And if America continues to go down the road we're headed down, destroying the traditional biblical view of family, this nation will not stand. I don't care how good the economy is. I don't care how strong the military is or how much we uphold the Constitution. It will not stand. God will not allow it to continue to go on. I don't mean to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but it ought to be obvious what's taking place, and it should cause us to cry out to God for mercy. The instructive motto of the state of Hawaii is a result of the influence of the Protestant missionaries who first came to Hawaii in 1820. It expresses a great truth in the Hawaiian language. I'll try to say this in Hawaiian language. I don't know if I can do it adequate or not, but it goes like this. Ua mawa ke lau ke aina ai kai pono, which means the life of the land is preserved in righteousness. That is so true. This is what the preacher said in Solomon, in Proverbs 14:34. The strength of a nation, of any nation, not in the square acres or any prosperity they might enjoy, but in square people. People who are living right and honoring God. We must never forget the sacrifice of the men and women who came from homes that were willing to sacrifice even their lives that you and I might enjoy the benefits of freedom today. If we are to maintain and remain strong and great as a nation, we must pay attention to our moral fiber. We build moral fiber in the home. Character does matter. It is the key to our strength and it is the key to our freedom. It is righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. We see troubles all around us because many have been bribed by Satan into compromising the principles of God's Word. This nation once honored God unashamedly and openly. The truth of this is etched in numerous marble monuments all over the nation's capital. It is carved in granite on many of the government buildings we hold dear. It is printed on our currency, "In God we trust." But how true is it in our daily life? We once credited God with our blessings and our successes and turned to Him in our trials and our losses. But today we seem to have lost our sense of remembrance. President Woodrow Wilson said this. Listen carefully to what he said. "A nation that does not remember what it was yesterday, does not know what it is today, or what it is trying to do. We're about a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about." I know there are some things in this nation that we're not proud of, but we dare not try to sweep those under the rug. We need to learn from those things. Amen. Learn from those mistakes. Learn from those trials and become a better people as a result. We can't become better by denying our history. It will never happen. Given the atmosphere prevalent in today's culture, it is obvious that we have forgotten our past. Consider the charter of a few of the original 13 colonies. The Rhode Island Charter of 1683 had the following words inscribed in it, and I quote, "We submit our persons, our lives, and our estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to all those perfect and absolute laws given us in His holy word." Eye-opening, isn't it? The Maryland Charter has words that says they were formed by a pious zeal to extend the Christian gospel. Talking about some of the original 13 colonies, the founding of this nation. Delaware had these words, that they were formed for the further propagation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Connecticut expressed in their charter that their colony's purpose was to preserve the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you read the charter of North Carolina, you find some of the same words in our charter here as a state. And yet there are those who try to tell us that this nation was not founded on Christian principle. They are lying. It was. That's why they came. Get away from tyranny and to worship freely. Spread the gospel. We've come a long way from our founder's path. Now we see the federal court restricting religious scenes from city squares and removing Ten Commandment displays from government buildings, except from the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. itself. This will not stop until God's people take a stand prayerfully and vocally. That's why I say to you that our homes must flourish as a hardy breed, building moral character in our children and grandchildren and living up to the standards that has been set before us according to the teachings of the Word of God and the founding of this great nation. The other quality that must be evident in our nation if we are to remain a great people and a free people is not only the character of its people, but the patriotic spirit of the people as well. You see, the same qualities that makes a person a good Christian will make that person a good citizen. That's why the Word of God in 1 Peter 2:17 declares, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." We have an obligation to pray for our leaders. I know some of the leaders that we have today, it's kind of hard to pray for them. But folks, they need prayer. Need God to intervene in their hearts and change their minds. That's the only hope we have and they have for getting things right. Our leaders need our prayers. Some attitudes and actions and needs to be changed. And quite frankly, a lot of them need to get saved real good. And that would make a difference in the laws that they espouse. But patriotism must be properly understood. Patriotism is not the same as nationalism. Nationalism is a blind loyalty. The kind of blind loyalty some of you will remember from Hitler's Germany. It says, my country, right or wrong. As G.K. Chesterton quipped, that is like saying, my mother, drunk or sober. We extreme need to understand that extreme nationalism is to believe that that nation who espouses extreme nationalism has a right to dominate other nations. That same nation has inherent superiority over other nations. That other nations are inferior. Listen, we need to understand something. One nation is not inherently superior to another. We're different, but not superior. Maybe healthier, wealthier, more powerful, better educated, but not superior. Why do I say that? We are all the creation of Almighty God, and every person is precious in God's sight. That's why we have a tremendous obligation, responsibility, to share the gospel, the good news of God's love with all people. The hope, not only of this nation, but of our world. Patriotism, on the other hand, is love of one's land. It has an appreciation for our heritage, and it has respect for one another and for our leaders. Old dictionaries such as George Washington and Patrick Henry might have used define patriotism like this: as the spirit of acting like a father to one's country, a public spiritedness. Another definition was like this: the quality of respect of one who is devoted to his country in a fatherly fashion. These definitions have little to do with war or nationalism, but it has volumes to say about respect. Respect for family, respect for the nation and the flag, respect for the rule of law, respect for mankind, respect for oneself. These are the real ingredients of patriotism. And these are the values of the past that we must learn if we are to survive as a nation. We would do well to heed the words of the late President John F. Kennedy. In one of his addresses to the nation, said this: ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We've turned that upside down in this nation in recent years. There's a movement in this country that says this nation owes me, gives me, give to me, give, without having to work for it and sacrifice for it. And there are those who are advocating giving people a guaranteed salary whether they work or not. That's totally against the teaching through the Word of God that declares if a person is bodily able to work, and the Bible says if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. We're getting away from these principles and wonder why we're getting in such a mess as a nation. Abraham Lincoln said this: I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to the light I have. I must stand with anybody who stands for right, stand with him while he is right, and part with him when he goes wrong. We dare not forget, and we must teach our children and grandchildren and others that we have an opportunity, that the Constitution tells us that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a privilege that we have to live in this nation, that we have life and can have it more abundantly through Him who sets us free, Jesus Christ, that we have liberty that we need to spread to all the people. And the pursuit of happiness is not to be handed to us on a silver platter, just given to us. No, we have a responsibility to work and be productive and be creative the way God created us, to make a contribution to the betterment of our families, of our communities, of our county, of our state, and of our nation and our world, to make a contribution by being diligent and working honestly. Friends, these are the kind of values we must possess and we must instill in our children. Love for and loyalty to all that is good and great in our country's heritage. And we must once again build up as role models those individuals who display virtue and responsibility, who embrace truth and justice, who exemplify honor and honesty and integrity. That needs to be in the forefront of who we are and what we teach. We must not forget those we remember, who we remember on this Memorial Day, who gave themselves in unselfish service that we might remain a free people, but we'll not remain free unless if we continue to fail to teach these moral virtues to our children and grandchildren. But there's something else we desperately need to remember in this matter of patriotism. We must never forget the providence of Almighty God. We must undertake the task of charting the course as Christian leaders. Again, we must work and pray that all men will be governed by God and not by unscrupulous tyrants. True patriotism is hearing the call of God and following His divine guidance in addressing the perplexing problems of our day. Patriotism displays itself in allegiance to Jesus Christ, carrying our spiritual loyalty into all the political affairs of government, because it is righteousness that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people or a disgrace to any people. But thirdly, this nation will be truly great when it is led by the powerful faith of her people. The bottom line is the truth that the greatness and strength of America is found in our biblical heritage. This is where it lies. And this heritage must be rediscovered and practiced. It's been well said, and I'll say it again, faith that is embraced is a faith that is practiced or is no faith at all. James said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We must put into practice what we say we believe on a daily basis. Not all the founding fathers were Christian, but a vast majority of them were, and the others had a deep respect for Almighty God. They didn't always live by the teachings of the Bible, but I'm saying that they believed in God and established our nation on principles that came from Scripture. I don't agree with Thomas Jefferson's theology. He was a deist. But listen to what Jefferson said. And I quote, he asked a question. "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, the conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God?" What we have is a gift from God, our freedom. When our forefathers declared their independence from an earthly power, they also made a forthright declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. That's the only reason this nation is where it is today. Because the founding fathers were willing to pay the ultimate price for freedom. The Declaration of Independence was formulated. When it was formulated, this historic document closes with these words: "With firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In modern terminology, they laid it on the line, but they trusted in Almighty God. We celebrate Memorial Day in memory of all those who paid the ultimate price in order to keep our freedom secure. It is the hand of God that will continue to guide us. The reason the pilgrims came to America in 1620 was to establish a government based on the Bible. The New England Charter signed by King James I confirmed their goal as to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. We cannot deny our spiritual heritage, and we dare not ignore it if we hope to survive as a nation. Nor should we be so callous as to forget those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. We must keep faith with God and with them. It was faith that made our nation great, and it is faith that will keep it great. Faith in God, faith in His Word, trusting in one another. Arnold Toynbee, the distinguished historian, counts 19 civilizations that have existed since man began to form governments. Of the 19, only 5 remain. Ours is one of them. Toynbee saw spiritual currents running throughout history. He said that no major nation has ever been murdered. They have committed suicide. They forgot the true purpose of their being and rotted on the inside. Like Israel, they sought to be like other nations. Instead of following God in spiritual conquest, they followed a man of their choosing to go before them and to fight their battles. Are we not making the same mistake? Following the dictates of mankind instead of the teachings of the Word of God? That's a road we cannot continue to go down. We must uphold biblical principles of the Word of God if we're going to remain free. Few nations have a history like ours. For over 243 years, we have been a shining light to the world in many respects. We've been an instrument in God's hand to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We often hear people say, God is our only hope. But I sometimes wonder if God might not be our biggest threat unless we change. What is there about America that should offer us a special dispensation that no other nation has enjoyed, not even Israel? We dare not ignore biblical history. Israel was God's own special people, but whenever they got out of line, whenever they sinned against God, whenever they became an idolatrous people, God judged them through a pagan nation. And they suffered the chastising hand of Almighty God. Do we think we're going to get away with what we're doing? Billy Graham said it years ago. I'll never forget him saying it. He said, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in days of Sodom and Gomorrah in America. We need to be on our faces crying out to God for a mighty moving of His Spirit. Like ancient Babylon in Daniel's day, that was measured and found wanting and whose days were numbered, so there is a last night for every nation, including America. Unless God sends another great awakening, I'm afraid our days are numbered. We should sense the urgency to exchange our own righteousness for the righteousness of Christ through the new birth, that we might not be found wanting in that day when God says enough is enough. America's had some proud moments, but none finer than that foggy morning of June 6, 1944. But the American boys approached the coastline in low tide. Wave after wave, they stormed the beach. And in 1 month, over 1 million Allied troops had filled Europe and brought an end to the horrendous and murderous grip of Hitler's Germany. We call that D-Day. But I submit to you, dear friends, that that was not the original D-Day. You see, in the little town of Bethlehem, God established His own beachhead and triumphed over the strongest enemy, sin, hell, and the grave. He used a young woman, a virgin, a baby, and a Bethlehem feeding trough. He invaded our world with the following words: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We must understand that our true freedom comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. True freedom comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the new birth. That will then translate into a lifestyle that will help keep our nation free. But I want to tell you something. When you have freedom in Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to this nation, if we were to collapse and an enemy, a pagan enemy, were to invade and take over, they still cannot take away our true freedom, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord, who died on a cross, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. They may take our physical life, but they cannot destroy our spiritual life. We are free indeed in Jesus Christ because God invaded this world, because He loved us and gave us life and that more abundantly. On this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who gave so much for the freedoms that we enjoy, Let us be reminded of the words of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32. The Most High still rules over the affairs of men. God's still in control, folks. And we need to understand that. We need to bow down before Him. May we bow our hearts and kneel before Him. May God not only bless us if we have not experienced true freedom, the freedom of salvation through the free gift that God has given. May we bow on our knees before Him and cry out to Him and ask God to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and invite Christ to save us. He'll do exactly what He says. Then may we cry out to God for Him to bless America again, to help us to be more true to His Word, true to the faith, true to our calling, and seek to honor Him in our daily walk, wherever we may be. What makes a nation truly great? Character of our people, the Christian character, the patriotic spirit that's based in Christian principles of our people, and the obvious and profound and vital faith of our people. Faith in God, faith in His Word, trust in His Word, and surrendering unto Him. Where are we? Where are you today in that walk with God? Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? If not, you can know Him. Hymn of Decisions, 412, the Savior is waiting. He is waiting within our hearts to save souls. He is waiting to hear His people say, Lord, whatever You tell us to do, we're going to do. We're going to follow You no matter what. We want to remain free. True freedom is in Jesus Christ. Do you know that freedom? You can today. Would you come as we stand and sing?